provisions will be prohibited unless they're allowed by these rules. While these policies are typically purchased by more sophisticated consumers, we still need to have those protections in place to protect innocent third parties who may be left with uncovered damages. What this chapter does is it lists the type of policies that these provisions are going to be allowed in. It sets a limit, the minimum limits for policy coverages. It'll be $1 million for primary coverages, which are going to be what the main purpose of that policy is, and $100,000 for secondary coverages, such as an endorsement to the policy. It also provides a disclosure form, which would be signed by the policyholder. This is going to ensure that that policyholder is fully aware that their policy contains this defense within limits provision, and it's going to allow them to ask any questions that they feel they need answered to fully understand that. We did follow the administrative rules procedure in presenting these rules. We put out the proper notices, we held the hearing, and we did receive comments for the 10-day period. We received comments from two trade associations, American Insurance Association and the National Association of Mutual Insurance Companies, from three insurers, Travelers Insurance, Nodak Mutual, and ACE, and also from the advisory organization, Insurance Services Office, ISO. In response to these comments, we did make several changes. We added definitions of primary and secondary coverages in order to clarify what those included. We included the word admitted to clarify that this isn't applicable to surplus lines insurers because they don't submit their policies to us, so we don't govern that. We included fiduciary liability and excess policies in the list of policies in which we'll allow these provisions. We changed the initialed acknowledgement to a signed disclosure form. We changed the notice requirement to clarify that we're not going to require any specific language. We just want that disclosure in there. And we also exempted what are known as defense-only policies because these policies' main purpose is to cover just defense costs, and they're not providing any damage for liability. The insurance department believes that this chapter is necessary to have appropriate limits on the types of policies these provisions are allowed in, as well as putting other requirements on these policies that will protect not only the policyholders, but also third parties who sustain damages. The disclosure form is also going to provide protection for the insurance producer, as if a policyholder comes back later and says, I didn't know that this was in my policy, they're going to have that documentation that shows that the policyholder was given disclosure that this is part of their policy. Thank you, and I'll try and answer any questions you may have.
Are there questions from the committee? Seeing none, I'm sorry, Representative Koppelman.
It's all right. Mr. Chairman, thank you. And Ms. Behrens, I've just been trying to quickly scan the questions and the responses. Maybe you can help by summarizing that. Were there, and I see you did make some changes, as you indicated, that are specific to the questions raised by the companies involved or the companies being regulated here. Were there people that simply objected to these rules? And if so, how did you respond to that concern?
Chairman Devlin, Representative Koppelman, we didn't really have any. We had some that felt the rule was unnecessary, but we're trying to be proactive to avoid any complaints on these or these being types of provisions being put in policies like auto policies, homeowners policies, where we really don't feel they have a place because those policyholders just really aren't going to understand them and they're just not going to get the coverage they intended. The other thing that they objected to mainly was the limits. They felt they were too high. Our response to that is, you know, we feel that the limits are appropriate because defense costs can be so high that they can quickly erode those policy limits, so we feel that they need to be at that level to protect the policyholders and the consumers. The other main objections we had, we took care of, I believe, in the amendments, and from my understanding, the industry is mainly supportive than with those amendments.
Chairman, if I might continue.
You may continue.
Thank you. And Ms. Behrens, I noticed one of the concerns raised was the idea that this isn't being done in other states and that North Dakota would be sort of an outlier. And I see that you did propose an amendment for to deal with that objection, but it seems as if it's basically a disclosure statement, and other states apparently have done that from what I see here. Do you see this, or does the insurance department see this as a trend that because of increased defense costs, this is becoming necessary, and do you think other states are going to be doing similar things?
Chairman Devlin, Representative Koppelman, if I understand your question, you're wondering if it's a trend to put in these defense within limits. You know, I don't know how the industry sees that, but I know that our product filing department is seeing more of these, and we do have those concerns that they're going to start showing up in policies that we just don't feel that they should be in, and we want to make sure that we are proactive in taking care of this before anyone is damaged by such a provision, and then we don't have a remedy for them.
Further questions? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Was there anyone else here to testify in support of this set of rules? Was there anyone opposed? Thank you. PSC Commission? She was gonna be here.
Get some stuff for attorneys. I believe right behind me.
They might have thought you were going to read that whole thing, though. Everybody left.
Could I kindly have 2 minutes to make a call and tell her to run down here?
To know that they're really only going to talk about one page on this whole deal because most of it's been done before. We are ready for you.
Oh my gosh. I'm sorry I was late. I went to get a Kleenex in case I cry.
Yeah.
Here. Scary but true. I've cried before this committee before.
Oh, that hurt. That hurt.
But it was
you may proceed.
It was a different chairman. I'll say that much. Okay. Hi. We're here with four sets of rules. For the record, my name is Alana Jeffcoat-Sacco with the Public Service Commission, and the commission did ask me to provide the testimony today. I am not going to read my whole testimony, but before I even do the very quick summary, I do have two special requests that I'm going to apologize for right up front. The first one is a delayed effective date in the grain bonding rules. The four sets of rules are reclamation, pipeline safety, a couple changes to practice and procedure, and then some new bonding requirements for grain warehouses and roving grain buyers. And we wanted these rules effective before the licensing period, but April 1 will be a little early, because there would be people in violation then between April and July, or between August, April and August 1. So we are asking to please have a July 1 effective date on those rather than April. And that'll fit perfectly with the new, with the renewals for all the elevators. The second one is an error that we just noticed a couple days ago. In fact, a stakeholder noticed it who didn't attend the hearing or comment on the grain rules. But, and at the bottom of the first page of the testimony explains that. If you look at the grain bonding rules, which are the last ones in the packet, not in your testimony, but in the rules packet, because they're the biggest number that you would have received from your council. The column heading, there's a slight error because we talk about less than 6 years.
Page 62, committee.
Okay, thank you. We talk about a column for if an elevator is licensed less than or equal to 6 years, and then if an elevator is licensed greater than or equal to 7 years, which leaves a gap of elevators that are 6.5 years. So what would their bond be? And so we would like to change that. We would like to change the less than or equal to six to say less than seven.
Mr. Chairman.
Compliment.
Mr. Chairman, if it's appropriate timing, I would move that the committee agree with the Public Service Commission and amend the rules of the two requests that we just heard.
A second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carried.
Chairman.
Representative Koppelman.
Right, a point of personal privilege.
No.
Just make a comment.
I was just, yes, certainly.
I was just commenting to one of our newer members that we had some fun sparring 20 years ago, Ms. Jeffcoat-Sacco and I, over the authority of this committee to do what it just did, among other things. And I think she's come around. I think she's pleased now that we can amend the rules for her. So.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Koppelman, my sentiments exactly. I told Sue Richter not to worry because they're not effective till that committee does it and they can fix anything they want. So thank you very much. I will quickly go through the rules. We do have two packages of rules, the mining and reclamation rules and the gas safety rules that do relate to federal statutes or regulations. Both of those are federally funded, and we need to have our programs consistent with what those federal agencies require. The reclamation rule is part of a rule that started a few years back. That's why the number is 12 and not 14. But those rules always have to go to OSM. That's the Office of Surface Mining, to be approved before they can come to you. We have a lot of approval steps in those rules. They did tweak the rule, make a small change, then we made that change, sent it back to them. Now it's in your packet because they approved that minor change. The only rule in this packet that we thought might require a regulatory analysis or a cost-benefit analysis were the grain bonding rules, and we're not really sure what the impact is, but we understand that there could be impacts on different types of stakeholders. That regulatory analysis is attached. The other rules just have statements about why there is no impact. And so for the bonding rules, there was an analysis for regulatory and for small entity, and the others, and then no takings assessment. The others, just a statement that there was none needed for those. And then I don't have a fiscal note for the reclamation rule because I don't think that requirement was in law when we first did it. But there is no fiscal impact. And the other three, there's no fiscal impact, but the AG's office did ask us to prepare a fiscal note. So I did do those kind of later in the process, but they didn't have any fiscal impact. So With that, I think I've completed my testimony. We had no comments on, except for some typo corrections, on most of the rules. The comment from the Office of Surface Mining, which we changed, and then we had comments on the grain bonding rules, and we did change the rules to accommodate one of the comments. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
There are questions from the committee. I don't see anything, but don't leave town.
Okay. Mr. Chairman.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Triplett.
That's okay. It may be in your packet, and I may just haven't found it yet, but can you just tell us what was the change requested by the Office of Surface Mining that you had to incorporate?
Mr. Chairman and Senator, if that's okay, I think I remember, but I think Jim Deitch is here.
Is he here?
Yes, the director, and he will really remember it, if I may defer to him.
Okay, Jim, do you want to answer that question?
Find that change here real quick.
Well, not finding it, but that change was to 6905.2-10-09, subsection 3. Then I think it's subpart C, the very last part. It had to do with mining companies submitting updated information if there's a change of officers and directors. Part of this applicant violator system, which is a national database of companies that have unabated violations or unpaid fines. The situation when there's changes in officers, directors of companies, that information has to be updated.
Further questions? Seeing none. Thank you. Anyone else here to testify on the set of rules from the PSC, either for or against, neutral? Seeing none, thank you. Discussion and directives. I don't think there's any. We, Representative Koppelman's rule or a motion took care of the what we needed to do on this one. We disposed of the other one. Any other business to come before the committee? Lynette, anything? We haven't set a June meeting yet. It has to be done by the 15th, or including the 15th of June, but we will get something out and see how it fits in schedules, you know, sometime soon. I apologize for meeting a Friday afternoon during the session, but the statute says we have to meet quarterly, so I didn't know which committee that I could pull all of you out of to do it on any other day this week, so that's why we did a Friday afternoon. Thank you for being here. We are adjourned.
Right now? I am.
Thank you.